I want to say good evening because I'm normally doing stuff in the evening, but hey, good morning. It's such a privilege. It's been a while. I was trying to think about when the last time, and I was like, I think it was last Easter where I preached, but yeah, it's been a while. So it's like getting out some cobwebs out. I'm like, gotta, you know, crack open some books, some volumes that have been stored away. But I'm so happy to be here this morning. All right. I got too much stuff. I need a bigger pulpit. okay. All right, so I want to invite you to go on a journey with me this morning. As I was praying about God, how can I preach heaven? The piece of heaven I'm grasping is like a grain on the beach of an ocean, or like a one star in the infinite universe, God. But he told me, go on a journey with me. So I was like, okay. And days went by, and I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go on this journey, And I'm still like, here I am, Lord, here I am. So, Lord, I just I thank you for this morning. I thank you that you give me an opportunity to declare your goodness, because you are good. Lord, I pray that as the words that come out of my mouth are of you, Lord, that I would behold and operate and be tapped into the mind of Christ this morning. And that I'd even be preaching to myself in some places, God. Let me receive what you got for me today. God, but would you unveil our minds? Like tear down walls that have been built up by ourselves or by something else. Tear down those walls, expand our minds. Let us be able to receive in our heart what you have for us today, in Jesus' name. I didn't even say all the prayer, but that we'd have an eternal perspective and a kingdom mindset. And something in worship, we were praying that our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, is basically the Lord's Prayer. You know, the kingdoms of this earth will become the kingdom of our Lord, right? He's not just the king. He's the King of Kings. Who are the KNGSs? He's made us a kingdom of priests, kings and priests to our God. It says several times in Scripture, there's, I think, four places where we are called to be kings and priests to our God. And I was just thinking, like, sometimes when you associate with something, it's like trying to think of the least controversial thing that I'll bring up right now. Sometimes when you associate with something, you agree with it, but you're not vocal about it. And sometimes you agree with something, you're too vocal about it, right? But I think there's this place somewhere in the middle, you know, like with our lives, with our marriages, with our children, with our workplace, with our church, where truly he's the Lord. We're not just soft-spoken. Yes, I agree, Jesus is the Lord. I mean, the devil knows that Jesus is the Lord, so that doesn't really say much. But we're not too much saying, this is the Lord, I'm going to beat it down your throat. Because I feel like it's off. It's off a bit. But that's just something, like, maybe that's just for me. That's just something I felt, God, as we were singing that song, and, you know, that scripture that the kings of this world will become the kings of our Lord. That he ought to be the king, not just a little signpost and not just a megaphone blasting you down, but he ought to be the king of that place. Because I have a realm of authority that I'm over. Now that's kind of scary. God help me. Yeah, we need to come. That's fear of the Lord, right? Like, God just put me right here, right now. God help me. God help us. Like, and he will. So I'm not fearful, but I still need his help. So I wanted to, first thing, I'm sure most people see Nacho Libre, right?
Yeah.
I had very sad revelation this week that Ramses died in a wrestling match. No, he literally died in a wrestling match like a year or two ago. And because first of all, I was like, I wanted to see his face because I never, you always see him with a mask. And then I'm like, saw his face, then look at the news feed, and he actually died. I just thought that was pretty interesting. So as we go on this journey, that was just kind of an icebreaker. As we go on this journey, the journey, when we're talking about heaven, you know, it crosses bounds. Like, there's a word metaphysical. I don't even use that word. You know, metaphysical. It's a geographical, it's a cosmological journey to begin to scratch the surface of what is heaven. Like, it's a giant scratch and just like, you know, there. It's huge. It's huge. And just trying to get just the framework, I probably won't even get to most of the stuff I'm going to say here. But what do you think about when you think about heaven? I'm thinking about it's a future place I'm going to. I know I'm going there. We all can probably say that. We all know we're going to heaven one day. And earth is not our home. You know, we're citizens of heaven. It's a place I want others to go. It's a place I want my family, my friends, my coworkers to go. Not everybody's going to go. There's this quote from Randy Alcorn, and it's funny that Pastor's been talking about this because I've heard this quote and I didn't know it was him. The best life on earth is a glimpse of heaven. The worst life is a glimpse of hell. For Christians, this present life is the closest they will come to hell. For unbelievers, it's the closest they'll come to heaven. And when we talk about heaven, it's set in the very first book of the Bible, and it closes in the very last book of the Bible. I know that I can store treasures up for myself in heaven by doing good things, by seeking his will. I can pray God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I think a lot of times when I'm thinking about heavenly things, I'm more in that context where I'm like, okay, there's an open heaven. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. I'm going to pray it down here on earth as it is in heaven. So a lot of times that was where my mindset. So when Pastor's like, hey, would you be willing to speak on heaven? I'm like, kind of like, I don't know, but here I am. But yes, God, we can pray like the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. He said, pray, God, have your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we can bring part of heaven down here. So if you want to turn for me to Genesis chapter 1, and a lot of times I get a lot of movie references, right? I think the things that we take in, a lot of times God will use those to speak to us about things, right? There was a movie, probably about, I feel like I'm getting old. But I'm older people are like, you're silly. but there was a movie called Contact, Jodie Foster. I think it was like 1995, maybe 1999. It was such an interesting concept where a message came in from outer space somewhere, and then when they started deciphering it and decoding it, it was basically plans to build this machine that basically teleported them to heaven. So it was kind of neat. Totally not a Christian movie, but I just thought that concept was so interesting. So turn me to Genesis chapter 1. Oh, I got this book here, too. Heaven. It's so hard to find the first book of the Bible, the first verse. All righty. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Isn't that fascinating? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And notice we haven't even got to let there be light. A lot of, scientists or whatever field studies that, you know, think of the Big Bang as the first thing. And I always think of, okay, the Big Bang is the first thing. But before that, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, called the light day. The darkness he called night. So the evening and morning were the first day. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. That's a lot of water. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. Now I looked up that word firmament. And before I go into that, can you see God right now? Can you see the angelic realms? Yet the word heaven, the word firmament, is a tangible thing you can see. Now, of course, tangible are not only seen things, but I wanted to kind of point that out, that it says he created the heavens. So there's more than one thing labeled under the bucket of heaven. And I also want to point out that before the beginning, like, God was there in the fullness of himself. Like, there was nothing before the beginning, right? It was just God. And in his omniscience, in his fullness of wisdom and knowledge, he created in the beginning. In the fullness of knowledge, he created me before my beginning. He created us before our beginning. And then he spoke, let there be light. And the word heaven appears in Hebrew and in Greek. And they both pretty much say the same thing. Hebrew is shamayim. I think I got that one okay. It talks about the visible sky, the abode of the stars. So basically when you look out at night and you see all that, the expanse of the universe, whatever little small piece of that we're looking at. But it also means God's home, right? So God's home, Hebrew, shamayim. In Greek, I'll probably butcher this one, but it's Uranos. It means pretty much the same thing. The universe, the aerial heavens, the starry heavens, the region above the starry heavens. So here we're kind of getting to a little more. Above the starry heavens where God lives and where he's currently dwelling. God is in heaven and the earth is his footstool, right? And so heaven is both the finish line that I'm going to, but it's also the right now. And Pastor, you did a good job talking about it, so I'm not going to re-go into that. But think about this. God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are having conversations about me. And you say this about you, but I'm saying about me because this is awesome. They're having conversations about me right now. They're praying for me. Jesus himself is praying for me. It says Jesus always lives to make intercession for the saints. Jesus himself is praying for me right now in heaven at the right hand of the Father in the third heaven. Jesus is praying for every one of us. Jesus is praying for everybody right now at the right hand of the Father. But it also talks, and this is in Romans chapter 8, sorry, by the way. I think, Pastor, you might have touched on these too. That the Spirit makes intercession for us with words that cannot be uttered. So I got the Holy Spirit and I've got Jesus all praying to God on my behalf. We all have that. Like, that is fascinating. That is fascinating that he's doing that for every one of us at the same time. That's crazy. I have the two best lawyers on my side that anybody could have. And you guys have them too. Isn't that great? Yeah. Like, how do we jump from here to here? I just want to point out one thing before we get into maybe some more fascinating stuff. And I just want to briefly touch on this because it has some of the concepts I'll be talking about. You guys heard of Lazarus? Not that one, the other one. There's two Lazarus in the Bible. There's at least two. I think there's only two. There's a story of a rich man and Lazarus, and this is in Luke chapter 16. And if we have really fast techie guys, they might be able to get up there, but I don't expect you to because I didn't tell you this one. Luke chapter 16, verse 19-31. Write that down, study it later. There's a story of rich man and Lazarus. The rich man, he had the life. He was rich, he had everything, and there was this guy, Lazarus, who was a beggar. He was poor, he ate the crumbs from the guy's table, the dogs licked his sores. It was really gross. They both died, I don't know if a comet came or an earthquake or something, but apparently they seems like they both died around the same time. And we find Lazarus is in this place called Abraham's bosom, and he's being comforted. We find this guy, this rich guy, he's being tormented by flames, and they call it Hades. And he's in a place of torment. When I think of hell, that's what I think of. It's a place of torment. It's a place of fire. You know, and I think that's the picture we get if we think about hell, right? But there's this guy, Lazarus, who's in comfort, and he's with Abraham. And the rich guy says, he has two requests. He says, Father Abraham, can you please send Lazarus just to give me one drop of water for my tongue? Like, that's how, can you imagine for it to be that bad? He just wants a drop of water for his tongue. And Abraham's like, sorry, I can't do it. There's no way for us to get between each place, and there's a big chasm that we can't pass. So I'm sorry about that, but it's not going to happen. The other thing, he was like, well, Abraham, can you send Lazarus back to tell my brothers, my family, about this place? I can warn them. And Moses, he said something crazy. They have the Moses and the prophets. If they won't listen for Moses and the prophets, even though one raised from the dead, they won't listen. I just right away think about Jesus, right? You know, the gospel is going out. The gospel is going out. And I don't talk about Abraham's bosom to bring a downer, but Abraham's bosom was a place that all the righteous went before Jesus. Because if we look in, here we'll do some scripture acrobatics. Matthew chapter 27, 52, 53. This is right when he died on the cross. He gave up his spirit. He went down and the graves were open. Where did he go? It says the graves are open, people walking around. Where did he go? Abraham's bosom. You got all the saints. I was like, all right, it's time to go. Boom, let's go up to heaven with God. It's prophesied in Isaiah 26:19, your dead shall live. By my body they shall rise. And David also prophesied about it. He says, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. You know, but when we think about hell, like I don't have a fear of hell. That because I know that place, I'm never going there. Like Hades, hell, however you want to say it, I'm never going there because I'm going to be with Jesus one day. And so why do I even bring this up? We're in a series about heaven. Here I am, you know, going a little detour to hell because I want you to maybe kind of get this picture. There are some people that are going to that place. And as much torment it is, there's going to be the complete opposite, like beauty, like the best of the best, the best of the best, the best of the best. And why else should we not prevail? Well, the scripture says that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Well, here we are. We're part of the church. Hey, so we don't have to worry about the gates of hell. And it also says in Revelation 1:18 that Jesus has the keys of death and Hades. So Jesus has the keys, and guess what? He's like, here, take them, take it for a spin, take it for a spin. So that's why we don't have to be fearful of hell or Hades. but then just kind of one further step, right? So you've heard new heaven, new earth. You've heard we have a current body, we're going to have a future body. There's the current place, and there's going to be a lake of fire. And why do I bring this up? Because in Revelation, it talks about the beast is going to be sent with the false prophet to lake of fire, hell and brimstone, right? The devil is going to be cast into there. Death and Hades even will be cast into there. But get to one of the last verses, Revelation 20:15. Anyone not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast into there. And that's scary. I'm just painting a picture. Even in the Gospels, Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. That's got to be scary, right? That's got to be scary. Even Jesus sent out the 72 disciples. They weren't filled with the Holy Spirit, but they went out with the name of Jesus. They had the name of Jesus. They were casting out demons. They had the authority. But there's going to be people that come and say, Lord, Lord, and will not enter the kingdom. And we're on a journey. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And it's one with a final exam. But I want to point something out. Before I was formed, before you were formed, before you were formed, you were known by God. You were sanctified by God, and you were ordained by God. Most of our life, the enemy is speaking lies to us to say that we're not that. And our journey, it's like one where, okay, before I was known, and here I am, I'm maturing from a child to an adult, to a husband, to a worker, to a pastor. I'm interacting with God. I'm interacting with the world. I'm interacting with people that may or may not become written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But what I know from the scripture is that I am called. I am anointed. I'm being tested. I'm walking out my faith that I'm relevant to for today. Esther, right? She was born for such a time as this, just as we all are. There was no mystery. There's no, there's no, what's the right way to say this? Every person that exists today was planned for today. I'll put it that way. And we're coming in the last of the last days. We're coming into where all these things that we read in Revelation are going to be coming fulfilled. Will it be tomorrow? I don't know. Will it be however many years? I don't know. We're not going there today. But my journey now, you know, is I have to identify with what God says. Like, he knew me, he formed me, he anointed me, he called me, he set me apart. And he's done that for every single one of us. And he's not going to leave me here. He's not going to leave me here. I'm going to meet him. I'm either going to hit the finish line and be met with him and then go to the new heaven, new earth, or he's going to be like, all right, it's time for the new heaven, new earth, right? So you can go to a Revelation 21. I feel like I've been giving you part of the owner's manual that's like, okay, yes, I already know about that, right? But I felt like it was important. Revelation 21, the heading, I'm sure everybody's Bible might have a little bit different thing, but it says all things made new. The verse right before was the ones I was talking about where everything got cast in the lake of fire. So boom, the devil, all the angels, anybody who's not saved, boom, lake of fire, okay, and that'll be going on for eternity. Now, turn me to Revelation 21. Now, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. That's interesting. And also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a loud voice saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. He said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful.
And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, will be burning in the lake of fire. You know, this is interesting. If you have a Bible that has red letters, these words aren't in red. And I was like, why is that? Why is that? Red letters are usually reserved for Christ, but he's talking to God himself. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls with the seven last plagues came and talked to me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. This is where we come in. And he carried me away into the spirit and a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. I don't know if you guys know, there's a lot of stones talked about in the Bible, but these clear jasper, it's like this, kind of like a prism where you shine light and it's like rainbow. It's like this, it's just clear, radiant, rainbow. And I just wanted to look that up just to see like this is a small glimpse of what the glory of God looks like. It's just glorious. Like when you see it, you'll be in awe that the glory of God is upon the bride. Her light was like a most precious stone. Also, she had a great high wall with 12 gates, 12 angels at the gates, names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, 3 on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, 3 on the west. There's 12 foundations, which are the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And going down a little bit further to verse 18, it talks about the constructions were jasper. So there's that jasper again. The city was gold like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire. So it's going to go through a whole lot of different stones. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each gate was of one pearl, and the city was of pure gold. And this is so interesting because the bride is referred to as the city, New Jerusalem. The bride, who is the bride made up of? It's made up of you and I that are going to go in heaven. That they will have the glory, it'll have the glory of God. And this city, it's pure gold. Like gold is a sign of purity. It's full of the radiance of the Lord. Like, it even talks about, if you go into verse 22 of Revelation 21, that I saw no temple, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of sun or the moon to shine, for the glory of God illuminated. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who were saved walk in its light. And I'll stop there. I just thought that was fascinating that there's no temple because God and the Lamb are the temple. Like we have to go to a place, you know, or we have the temple of God inside of us. But, you know, we come here, you know, more or less to the temple, but we don't have to go anywhere because God is inside the bride. God is inside the bride and we're inside God. Like what we have conceptually this today to a degree. To a degree, like Jesus, if you look at his life, he was fully God and fully man. He walked this earth as a man, but he was also did nothing but the Father told him. He also was filled with the Holy Spirit. things that we should be doing and walking out today. You know, so he had this relationship with God, you know, that how do you get from there? Like, how do we get from this kind of like foreshadow to that is our entire existence? That would be our entire existence, to be one with God. That's even one of Jesus' final prayers, that we would be one with him and God, just as they are one. And this is like the fulfillment. So it's after all this garbage is taken out and all this garbage is dealt with, and here we are living it. Like, and that's eternity. And it says, we'll reign with him forever. It's 22 verse 5. That we will reign forever and ever with God. When Jesus, you know, like that oneness, that like that God would yada us. Like, our only concept of yadaing somebody is between a man and a woman, which is so, like, it's such a tiny foreshadow of the yada that we will have in the coming, in the coming age, you know, as the bride and Jesus are married, are one. Full of purity, full of gold, full of the radiance of God. Like, just trying to entertain those thoughts it's crazy. Like streets of gold. You know, if you've ever been to a palace, like one of Saddam Hussein's palace in Baghdad, and it's just top to bottom marble. It's very beautiful. I don't know if it's still standing today. I don't know what's happened since then. But a palace is beautiful, right? But this puts that to shame. Like, gold is like one of the most precious metals that we have. The entire city is solid pure gold, and not just like, you know, cheap gold, but the purest gold, that it's so pure that it's clear like crystal. That the walls are adorned with jewels all over the place. That the gates are one solid pearl. Like, I don't know where these oysters came from, but they must have been some pretty big oysters. And I guess when he got rid of the sea, he's like, all right, here, I've been saving these for a while. but he's got those are some big oysters, right? So it's a solid pearl. Can you imagine? Just a solid pearl. And it's the foundation of the 12 tribes, the foundation of the apostles. It's the first branch and the new and grafted branch fully together. You know, speaking of like the Jews and the Christians, like fully together as one. Like that. Like, I almost think it's the end goal of all of our prayers. You know, like when you see somebody that's struggling with something, you're praying into who they will be, right? You're counseling them on who they will be, or what God says they are, right? So, like, this, the bride, New Jerusalem, like, when I used to think of heaven, I would think, okay, if you think about it, like, that is what I think of heaven, with the New Jerusalem. Like, the city of gold, the streets of gold, and like that's the New Jerusalem according to Revelation, the end of Revelation. And it's not just a place I'll go, it's like I'm part of the DNA of it. Like, it says that the bride of Christ is the New Jerusalem. You know, let your brain try to reconcile that. Put that in there with the God is three but one. You know, you're like, I agree. Okay, yes. Yes and amen. Because all the promises of God are yes and amen. yeah. And these are mysteries, right? Like, Paul says they're great mysteries. Like, even I talked about the union of man and woman. He says, you know, that a man shall leave his father and mother. In Ephesians, it talks about that's a great mystery. But it's still true. So, the tail end, the very last book of the Bible. You know, we started, this is kind of a bookend sermon. It's kind of neat. You know, I started with the very first book of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and now I'm at the very last one. And my Bible is so nice, it's hard for me to find the beginning and the end. Oh, Lord, see how spoiled we are? There's people in other countries that don't have Bibles, so think about that. But, you know, like, I don't know, it just came up. So I bet we all have probably two or three Bibles at home that we're not using. There's countries that would love those, and I'm sure there's a ministry that is doing that, you know, or maybe there's a new one going to come up. But there's people that don't have the Word of God. We're so spoiled that a lot of times we don't even lift this up. Got our phone, or sometimes we're just lazy or busy. Anyway, I want to focus the last book of the Bible. So all the great, fabulous things, like the oneness of God, that I don't have words. Like, because we've all experienced like a time where that was real to us. Like a time where we saw God move, a time where God spoke to us. You know, like, how about this? King David says, I don't have the whole scripture, but he's just talking about if I just spend one day, just spending one day. When Jesus died and rose again, it's that same scripture. When he died, the veil was torn. We can go in every day. That is crazy right there. And a lot of times we don't. And that's even crazier. We have the things, like two-thirds of the Bible was looking for, and we have it freely at our access. And a lot of times we're doing other stuff. So I guess part of the scripture, I did feel like I was supposed to talk about Hades and talk about that stuff, because that's a real place that real people are going to go to one day. It's not going to be me, and it's not going to be you guys. But it's a place that people you know will be going. But thank God we got such a better place. But anyway, if you look at the last book of Revelation 22, three times Jesus says, I'm coming quickly. Verse 7, behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. We should read this book. I had to read Revelation probably like 10 times before I started to figure out what things are starting to mean. You know, probably more like 30 or 40. There's just so much symbolism. There's so much going on. It's like you would have to read it probably 100 times to start grasping things, right? But we should keep the prophecy of this book. We should read Revelation. We should read the whole Bible. If you haven't read the Bible, like Pastor Greg says, read the Bible. How do you know what it's going to say? How do I know the Bible doesn't say something like really dumb? Well, because I read it. Thank you. Read the Bible. I was thinking Jake and Kim, I was at their wedding, and at the reception, I sat next to Nancy Palmer, and she was encouraging me. She's like, have you read the Bible? I'm like, no. And I don't know how long ago that was. It was probably like 10 years ago, something like that. So me, I barely read the Bible the first time around about 10 years ago. What I did, when they used to have Family Christian Store, they used to have these $5 Bibles. So I bought one because Bibles are expensive. I don't know if you go try a Bible. I got like five kids and a wife, you know. Bibles are expensive. I'm like, it's like I got to take out a small loan just to get some new Bibles. These are thoughts I've had. But Bibles are expensive. Like this Bible I have right here, it's probably $100, maybe more. I don't know. It's like Bibles are super expensive. Yet you can get one for $1. You can get Bibles at the 99-cent store. King James Version is still the Word of God. They have Bibles. But read the Bible. Read it all the way through. I got one of those Bibles, and I just said, okay, Genesis, check. Genesis 1, check. I just kept reading it anytime I could, and I finally got through that one Bible. And that meant a lot to me, actually. Is there anything where I was going with that? Okay, yes. Blessed are those that keep the words of this prophecy. So you have to read and digest and comprehend and study and meditate on Scripture. Otherwise, it's not going to do anything for you on yourself, right? In verse 12, he says, and behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. So I want to say it's Matthew chapter 6. It says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You know, don't lay up for yourself treasures here on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves come in and steal. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Jesus at one point, and I didn't talk about this, but if there's a lake of fire, well, there's also a Lamb's Book of Life. So everybody who's in the lake, the Lamb's Book of Life, doesn't have to worry about the lake of fire. You're in the Lamb's Book of Life. But we're going to be judged. And so he's coming quickly to give us according to our work. And then towards near the end, Revelation 22, 20, actually, no, it's not the end. It says, surely I'm coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That kind of is a good closer, but there's still one other verse. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You know, in another, I don't have the scripture reference, but it says that eye has not seen and ear has not heard what God has in store for those that love him. Look it up. You can Google it. You'll find the reference. Eye has not seen and ear has not heard. So I'm struggling just trying to comprehend how beautiful, and just the description in Revelation, just being one with God and having no sin nature, having no curse. It also mentioned that there was no more curse. You know, being free, being ultimately free. Like, I'm free now, but there's still a struggle. But I'll be free then with zero struggle, to just be free and just to be with God and just to enjoy eternity, like with zero curse, with, like, that's unfathomable. To be fully comprehended, fully known. Like it says, we know in part and we prophesy in part, but we will be fully known. We will be fully known. We will be fully known. Like, and that is like what our hearts cry out for. Like, people get in arguments, they get upset because you didn't understand me. That's not what I was saying. We will be fully known. We will be fully known. And we will have everything that we need. We will have everything, and we will be able to behold the face of God. It says we can look at the face of God. There's angels right now that have been there, you know, that can't even look at him. They are covered. But we'll be able to behold and talk to God. And those things can't compare. Like, we don't even have a frame of reference to compare how good that is. All we know is it's not nowhere near it. And so I'm excited, because before this, I'm just thinking about, okay, how do I live life and overcome here, right? Which that's like why we're here, right? There's a challenge. I was here on purpose. You know, Jesus came down. He was a purpose. He was the first among many. And he gave us an example of how to live this life. But he is the firstborn. He is the first raised. So there is a future state. There's a future existence. There's a future eternity. That sounds weird. There's a future eternity. But there's a future eternity. I mean, we're in eternity now. Like, once we said yes to Jesus, boom, we're part of it. But there's a new thing coming that we just, it's just so hard to comprehend. But it would be like winning, you know, the lottery. Like, it would be like, and you had infinite resources. Like, Pastor, you're talking about, like, what if you go to heaven? Like, you can just do whatever you want. Like, having, you're one with God. You're one with God. Like, every fiber of your being is one with God. You can do whatever you want. And there's no sin nature. There's no curse. Like, Oh, my goodness. So I hope you're a little more excited than you were before you got here, because what is coming is going to be so good. Like, it's not, you don't have a register for it, but you know it's going to be, like, so good. It's going to be like winning heaven's lottery. So you guys can come up. As I mentioned, we're in a marathon. We're in a marathon. And some have started earlier than others. Some have started earlier than others. And some are like,
Like we just, some, not we, because I didn't do this, but the human race broke like the 2 hour like marathon mark. Like that's insane, right? But so some are much faster. It doesn't matter. Because on his death sentence, as his death sentence was being carried out, Jesus told one man, "You're going to dine with me in paradise today." And the other, there was two men on the cross with Jesus. One was told, "You're going to dine with me in paradise." And the other went down. And he's going to wait for judgment. And so I say that on purpose to kind of spur something in you. Because I believe that there is a great commission that says we ought to go out preaching the name of Jesus, and that we ought to go out baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And how will they know unless somebody told him? How will they believe unless somebody told them? How did we believe unless somebody told us? I think this is part of the reset. You know, like I feel like there's an apostolic reset. There's a prophetic reset. I feel like there's an evangelistic reset. Because if we're looking at heaven and we're walking to heaven, and we see a brother or sister that's down, like that shouldn't be able to comprehend either. And not in the good way that I was talking about heaven. There's the fivefold ministry, the prophets, the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers.